John 15. Take your Bibles, please. John 15. John 15. We're going to be in our series, Simply Jesus, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Thanks for everybody who stayed in the gap for me while we took this last couple of weeks off, and we got a lot of things done at the house. Got to rest, got to do some interesting things, and yes, my wife wanted me to grow a beard, so I came back with one. We'll see. It's still in the transitional phase, but I don't know about you. We're not much of resolution, New Year resolution kind of people. Are you guys like that? Do you do that every year? You know, we've got some cool things that Ms. Mix and I got a chance to talk about and make some plans for. And of course, one of them is for me to get back on the diet again. And I don't know about you. So I made a commitment. I said, okay, on January 1, I'm back on the diet. Okay, it's going to happen. I'm going to do it. You know what I'm saying? But I had this bucket list of things that I wanted to get done. And one of them concerned certain types of food I wanted to make sure I got, you know, kind of out of the way before I joined. And so on January 2nd, I still had three things on my bucket list that I hadn't finished yet, you know, and I just had, Brother John, so I got up in the morning and I crushed a 6-pack of Krispy Kreme donuts. And then for lunch, I went down to Popeye's Chicken and just demolished a 4-piece dark meat, you know, thigh. Oh, whoo, glory. You know how long it's been since I had fried chicken? Like, oh, my soul. And then for dinner, I had DQ for supper, buddy. You know, and that's it. My bucket list is clean. I'm back on the wagon again. I'm not much of a resolution kind of guy, but we're on it again because what we were able to do, we took some time and met together, husband and wife, and talked about vision for 2019. Things that we want to see God do as in our individual life. And then as a couple, we talked about it as a family. Then we talked about it as ministry. And we were given this idea. It's not ours originally. It was given an idea to have a vision wall, a vision board, I need pictures. Anybody else good? I like pictures. I like it when you cut something out and you say, this is what I want God to do this year. And God, instead of making resolutions, we ask God for a vision for 19 for us. As individuals, as a couple, as a family, as a ministry. What do we want God to do? And as I was studying through John, now the adult Sunday school class, one of the 6 classes we have that meets in here is also teaching through John. And so I've been in studying through John and speaking and preaching on it. And when I ran into John 15, I ran into a vision. It really solidified in me what God wanted for us this year in 2019. And it's found in the chapter on the vine. So if you've got your Bible handy, look at John 15. Now we're going to read it out loud together. And I know that I get more out of it not only when I read it, but when I read it out loud. So I'll read the odd numbered verses and you'll read the even. If you found John 15, say amen. Let's start. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, today we look to you, God, for our future. We also look to you for our present, because you are the source, God. You are the source of life. You are the provider. You're the prayer answering God. You're the only God there is. And Father, we know that you're worthy of our praise. And Father, you're worthy of our obedience and our worship. And today, God, we ask that you would cast a vision in each of our hearts for the coming year and how you would be glorified in us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6 that all of our righteousnesses, that means the best I can produce in and of myself, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, goodness, meekness, faith, all those things, that the best I can do is filthy rags. That's Isaiah 64:6. Make a note in your margin. You can look it up later. But the best that the John Mix can produce in and of himself by myself is garbage. It's junk. I can't do it on my own. I can't love unconditionally. I don't have it in me. I can't forgive like God wants me to forgive, like he forgives. I mean, let's face it. If you were God, would you forgive you? If you were God, would you bless you? Based on your level of obedience over the last 7 days, would God do anything for you if you were God for sin? No. Listen, but God, who wants to glorify himself in us, will empower us by living through us to glorify himself. The vision for 2019 is not a list of things I can check off. I mean, we had that during our vacation. We checked off some things. We planned this and planned that. We went through every door, every drawer, every cupboard, every closet. Let me tell you something. I even got under them children's beds. Bless God. And we got that little pointy thing on the end of the vacuum, went all the way around the edges and got the baseboards and all the cobwebs. I mean, we cleaned that house. I took a whole Suburban load to Goodwill and four sets of garbage cans and bags and whatever, and got rid of all kinds of stuff. Because the truth is, we used one guiding principle. If I died today, would anybody want this? Would anybody have any use for this? How many of you still have your junior high graduation diploma from eighth grade? I do too, sister. But I thought to myself, if I died today, who'd care? Who'd want it? Why do I want it? You know, a man that has stuff hath woe because he must spend his life managing his stuff, the old proverb says. So the question you ask yourself is your life a series of checkboxes? No. You'll never find fulfillment. Old goals need to be written down and goals need to be achieved, because even with a shotgun, you got to aim or you don't hit nothing. You need goals. But that goals need to be in line with a vision, an overall vision of what God wants to do in you and through you. The devil loves to beat you up about the details in your life that you didn't make or you missed. But the truth is, God has a vision for you. And if you're saved, if you know the Holy Spirit, if you know that Jesus is your Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and he knows what the Father is thinking about you, you ought to ask him, "What God, what vision? What is the vision? What is it I need to be focused on so that you can glorify yourself in me this year?" See, it's never about, did I accomplish as much as the person sitting next to me? Did I achieve like the person sitting next to me? The question is, did I fulfill God's will and God, and to fulfill God's vision that he has for me? So in 2019, as I was studying John 15, I found five things that God gave me for a vision for the future, for my life. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you. In John 15 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." That word clean in the Greek means, you know, it's clean, it's usable, it's prepared to be used. I want to be prepared for God's use in 2019. I mean, we understand what it's like to be physically clean, right? I mean, we have four boys, and when they were little, we'd have bath time every night. You know, and it was just kind of a routine we got in. You know, they'd go outside and they'd play in the dirt and they love finding bugs and snakes and all kinds of creepy crawly things. And sometimes they'd come home with them in their pockets. But every night it was bath time, you know. And now for some reason they've got like selective amnesia when they're teenagers. I have to constantly remind them, "Boy, dude,
You need a shower. And if you don't have teenage boys at your house, you don't know what I'm talking about, because girls do not smell. Isn't that right? Can I get an amen? They don't sweat. They glisten like a pig, but they don't sweat at all. But you got to remind boys, dude, you smell. You wash up. And let me tell you something. The person sitting next to you right now appreciates you following that practice of bathing. Right? Because we go out into the world every day, and the sin of this world, we get a little filthy, we get a little dirty. And God likes to use clean vessels. He likes using clean things. Now, it starts in salvation. The Bible says in Titus 3 and verse 5 that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us by the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You understand that when you get saved, God washes you clean, past, present, and future. All of your sin are covered by the blood. But the truth is, when you go out every day, because the Bible says in John 1:8, now that you're saved, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We are still sinners living on this earth. How many of you have had to retrain your kids how to load a dishwasher? Okay, I need a sidebar. If they can run an iPhone 8, they can run a dishwasher. Right? If they can run an iPhone or an iPad, they can use a washing machine and a dryer. Trust me. All my tech support's now done by my kids, okay? And they know how to run a vacuum too. Okay, back to the point. How many of you had to train your kids how to use it? I mean, you reach up into the dish cupboard and you pull out a bowl and it's got leftover mac and cheese on it. And it's baked in, because we use the heat dry cycle on our dishwasher, right? It gets baked on. You gotta get like the orbital sander out and get it off now, right? And even though it's Crowell where it's a mess. You got to teach those kids that the water sprays up from the bottom. So anything flat needs to be vertical, but anything with a cup to it, like a bowl or a cup, needs to be upside down so the soap can get to the inside. Right? Brothers and sisters, if you want to be used by God this year, if you want to be prepared for the Master's use, if you want to be clean, then the Word of God has got to get to the inside of us. It's got to get to the inside. Now, we're saved by the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. But Christ, now that we're saved, Christ means for us to be clean and usable vessels every single day. So how clean are you spiritually? Now, my children have different definitions of clean than my wife does. Does anybody else have that struggle in their home? Because when I say, go clean your room, they pick up their room. But clean means you actually get a rag and you start wiping down the windowsills, and you get the little woolly bullies off the corners and underneath the bed, and use the little pointy thing, and you actually vacuum. And, you know, clean is different than just picked up. But God wants us not to just pick up our lives. God wants us to be spiritually clean, that we may be prepared for his use. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy 2:21, if you're taking notes. If a man therefore purge himself from these, that means to get these things out of our life, clean ourselves up, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, that means prepared, regular, right, for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Right now, this instance, at this moment in time, 2019, are you clean? You saw us on Facebook this week. Ms. Mix found some old pictures of us. Yes, that was me. And said to me, hey, I didn't know your wife was married before. I said, well, I can tell you that. He was half the man I am right now. Right? So you saw the pictures, the old pictures and things, and it reminded me that we used to have barbecues and cookouts at her mom's house, and we would drink a lot of Coke and Mountain Dew. We didn't do any of this diet stuff. Diet didn't exist in our realm back then. It was 30 plus years ago. And we'd sit around and we'd barbecue and cook out hot dogs and hamburgers and steaks and whatever, and we'd sit around and drink sodas. We called it pop. My in-laws are from the South, so they called it pop. I'm from the North, we call it a Coke. So everything's a Coke, whether it's Dr. Pepper or root beer, it's all a Coke. So we drink out of cans. But everybody smoked at that time. Everybody smoked Marlboros. And one day, I reached over and grabbed my can, and I took a drink out of it, and there's a cigarette butt in it. Now, it was still half full, cold, got sweat all over it. So they just missed the wrong. Instead of paying attention to their can, they put their cigarette butt in my can. And it tasted like licking an ashtray. This is kind of nasty. How do you think the Holy Spirit of God feels when it's inside us? He is inside you, by the way, if you know the Lord is your Savior. How does he feel when we're not clean? Does he feel icky? Is that how it is? Listen, a vision God gave me for 2019 is I want to be prepared for his use. I want to be clean and right with him every single day. And I do that by keeping short accounts with God because I do sin just like you sin, 1 John 1:8 tells us. And because of 1 John 1:9, I keep short accounts if I confess my sin. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I keep those short counts, kind of like when your children mess up each day and they come and they say they're sorry and they ask for forgiveness and they make things right. But the Word of God, to stay right with the Lord, to be usable of God, the Word of God's got to get on the inside of you and I. Psalm 119 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in thy heart that I might not sin against thee." In Psalm 119 and verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word." By the way, you know, it's... God in Ephesians 5 talks about how he likes his church to be pure. And the church is not the building. We have wonderful facilities and we're thankful for them, and we pray to keep them clean. But the truth is, the church is the people. And based on your level of how spiritually clean you are, how spiritually clean is the church today? God likes to use prepared, clean vessels. He wants to use you. A vision for 2019, my brothers and sisters, is we want God to prepare us for his use. We want to be usable. That's what we want. Number two, in 2019, we not only want to be usable, we want to be prepared. We want to be productive. We want God to work through us for his glory. Look at verse 4 and 5. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, nor more can ye except ye abide in me." Now, Jesus tries to explain first his relationship to the Father so that he can explain our relationship to he and the Father. Okay, look at verse 1. "I am the true vine." That means the word there is a false vine too, by the way. "I am a true vine and my Father's the husbandman." Verse 2, "Every branch that beareth not fruit." That means it is the Father's will that we bear fruit. Okay? It says that also in verse number 8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. This is the will of God, that you be a fruitful Christian. That is God's will for you. Now, he uses earthly pictures to explain heavenly principles. You know, we like grapes. We just do. What we do is we'll go to Costco or something. We'll buy a couple of them big things and we'll freeze them. And they make wonderful little snacks in the evening. They're like little frozen fruity, you know, I don't know, popsicles. They just pop in your mouth and you chew on them. And sometimes you can get the ones with seeds in them cheaper than the ones without seed. But we think of the seeds as nuisances. And someday I just spit them out. We try not to eat them. It's nasty, whatever. But do you realize inside that seed is the potential of thousands of future grapes if that seed were allowed to become a vine? Same thing with an apple. You open up, we eat the apple, we throw away the core. But inside the apple are at least three or four seeds, and in each one of those seeds is the potential of becoming its own tree, bearing thousands and thousands of apples. We are to bear fruit. That is what God wants from us. That is his will for us. Each soul we win has the potential for thousands of more to be saved. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I want to bear fruit in 2019. I want to see folks saved. It's God's will. He's ordained it, verse 16 says. It's God's will that we be productive. But for that to happen, I have the word abide. That's what it says in verse 4. Look at that. It says, "Abide in me and I in you." Abide. That word abide, Old English, means to surrender, to rest, to find my source, to find my sustenance, to rest, to be supported by, to be at home in. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. God has limited himself. The vine cannot produce fruit without the branch. And God has limited himself to humanity. It would make more sense if he'd use angels, wouldn't it? They travel at the speed of thought. They never sleep. They never take a vacation. It's always sunny somewhere on this planet. They could be working 24/7, round the clock, speak every language. But they don't know what it's like to be lost and then be redeemed. That's why God doesn't use them. He has limited his efforts to humans. So for 2019, I want to be prepared for God's use, but I also want to bear fruit. I want to be productive. Now, the Bible talks about the fruit being souls, that we are to win souls. We don't save people. Well, we need to be telling people about the Christ who died for them. We need to be the one taking the gospel. It says, teach all nations. What? Teach them the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Go to every creature and preach the gospel, Mark 16 says. And Acts 1:8, you shall be witnesses unto me. You're going to tell people what you've experienced. God has placed you in certain situations for the purpose of fruit bearing, but I don't think we look at it that way. I think we look at our life and we have these other motives and reasons we do things. Let me give an example. When only 1% of 1% of all children who play sports make it to the major leagues, why do we make sports such a big deal? When 100% of them will stand before God and give an answer. Now, I'm not against sports, love sports. But have you thought maybe God had you put your kid in soccer so maybe you could win some of those parents to Christ? Maybe God put you in Little League or led you to mentor those kids so that one day those kids would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Had it ever dawned on you that peewee football was more than just screaming and hollering about pigskin up and down the field? That maybe it was your opportunity to be inserted into the life of lost people? See, the word abide means to surrender. That means to embrace what God has allowed. You know, God has brought chronic illness into some of your lives. Not because he finds it funny, nor because he wants to punish you, but because on a regular basis you are now connected to people you wouldn't normally speak to. You are in a private setting with people who will not talk to me when I knock on their door. They're too educated, they're too professional, they don't want to talk to some Baptist preacher. But as you sit on that chair and you're infused with chemotherapy, you are spending a lot of time with a nurse and a doctor and a nurse practitioner. And it's the joy of the Lord that they see on your face and they don't understand. And now you have the opportunity to win souls. Will you this year in 2019 surrender yourself to what God allows in your life that you might have the opportunity to bear fruit? Will you look at your life in 2019 from a different point of view? Maybe the reason you lost that job is because the next one's got lost people in it. Maybe you got that promotion because the department needed somebody with moral character and godliness to shine forth the Spirit of God to lost people. We think to ourselves, no, that was me. You know, I worked hard and I didn't. God gave you the ability to do that. God gave you the means and methods and the opportunities. But God expects you to bear fruit. In 2019, your vision needs to be, I want to be usable. And then God, I want to be productive. I want to win souls. I want to bear fruit. I want to be obedient to your will, oh God. This is the purpose of the branch. You say to yourself, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know. I can't win people. I can't tell people. I can't do that. Stop and look at verse number 4 again. Abide in me, and I abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine,
No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Did you know that the vine on a grape plant offers everything it has to the branch? Nothing is withheld. Everything that Jesus has, boldness, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, faith, meekness, goodness, gentleness, all of that is offered to you freely from God. It's yours. The vine wholly offers itself to the branch that it might bear fruit. The branch receives everything it needs to bear fruit from the vine. And if you're going to be fruitful this year, if your vision is, I want to be used, I want to see God glorify himself through me, then surrender yourself to the fact that God has everything you need to be an obedient, spirit-filled Christian. And he's offering it to you for free. He's offering it, saying, I freely give it to you. All I'm asking you to do is believe and to surrender yourself to me. Abide in me. That's what he's saying. So I want to be prepared for his use. I want to be productive for his glory. And number three, I want my prayers answered. Look at verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Man, we're going to put up a vision wall. We're going to put up a vision of what we want God to do in our life. And we've been praying, asking God, what can we ask you for? What should we ask you for? And in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, ask me and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God's got some bigger plans than even I can imagine. So show me, oh God, and I'm going to put pictures up. We're going to pray about it. We're going to ask God to meet those visions, make that vision happen. I want God to answer my prayers this year. How many of you had a prayer request answered in the last 7 days? You could, if you'll ask, and you'll ask believing. Now, there are three answers to prayer. There's yes, here you go, which I love. I love that. There's no, which I don't really care for, but at least I can argue, right? Because I know what the answer is. But the one I hate the most is wait. I hate waiting. That's why I love fast food. Why? Because you can get it and get out. Get on, right? I love it, man. But God's prayer request, listen, he's not a slot machine. The answers are yes, no, and wait. And sometimes when they're wait, well, every time when they're wait, we need to keep asking. It also gives us time to reevaluate our motives in asking. Why do I want this? For his glory or for mine? For him to be exalted or for me to feel better? What do you want in 2019? What is it that you want God to do? What is it that are you willing to give him the opportunity to give you a vision for what he wants to do? Or are you afraid that with that vision will come a responsibility you're not ready to, you don't want to take up? Because of what it might entail. You don't even know what it'll entail. But if everything God has is open to us, then why aren't we asking? If your prayer request can be fixed with a credit card, you're not asking for bigger things. If your prayer request can be carried in your own hand and fixed with your own hands, you're not asking for big enough things. Why aren't we asking? You need this year to ask God for something so big that if God wasn't in the equation, it'd be ridiculous. How long has it been since you had an impossible prayer request? An impossible prayer request. That without God, it'd be ridiculous to ask. You are living below the level of mediocrity. You are living below the level of blessing God wanted you to live at. You're living below it. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about name it and claim it. I'm not talking about, well, I'll give this and then I expect 100-fold back. That's not what I'm talking about. That's garbage. I'm talking about, do you believe God is the prayer answering God? Then why don't we ask? Because you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see. And that's why you think God doesn't either, so God's not going to answer you. And that's a lie. God knows what you're like,
He knows what you're like when nobody else knows what you're like, and he still loves you and wants to answer. But we don't ask, or we don't believe, or we won't prepare ourselves to be clean. I want to be prepared for his use. I want to be productive in 2019. I want my prayers answered. And I want to present the love of Jesus to everybody I meet. I want to glow with it. I want to radiate the love of Christ. Look at verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified. You know, I'll stop right there for a second. Judas Iscariot had the best preacher with the best messages, with the best teachings, with the best fellowship, and he still died and went to hell. You understand that it's not really as you should have a verbal witness. You should be able to communicate what happened to you. But I'm telling you, you're going to lead more people to Christ. You're going to get them interested and want to know more by what you are than what you say. I get to do funerals for people all the time that don't have a church. I meet some really sweet Christians when they died, they had peace and they swept right into the arms of Jesus. But I meet a lot of people, whether they're rich or poor, whether they had rank or they didn't, it didn't matter. They were all equal in death because they took nothing with them except who they became in Christ and the souls that they led to Christ. The only thing that lives beyond this life is that which is done for Christ. That's it. It's done. There is nothing else. You go empty-handed except for who you become. Why not let God glorify himself in you? Because when he does, the Bible says, be ready to give an answer to them that asketh you of the hope that lieth within you. Because they see something in you they can't explain and they have a question. You're going to find more folks getting saved because the greatest witness is going to be a change in you this year. Won't you let God glorify yourself? Won't you let that be a part of the vision for 2019? Maybe this is the year you're going to buy the house. Maybe. Maybe this is the year you're going to lose the weight. Maybe. Maybe this is the year you're going to get the biceps you've always dreamed of. Or maybe this is the year that you're going to become debt-free. And if you're not debt-free, you need to come to our Financial Peace University and walk through the steps, and we'll show you how to get debt-free. Maybe this is the year you finish your degree. Maybe this is the year you check the box on some bucket list you've got. But 1 second after you're dead, all that will not matter. It won't matter what car you drove. It won't matter how big your bank account was. It won't matter any of it. This year, as I said, this winter, over our vacation, something we did was we cleaned out our house and we used one simple thing. Will anybody want it after I'm dead? And will I have any use for it in the next couple of days? Or, you know, I don't throw away tools. Tools is dumb. You keep tools. But I mean, things. How many pictures do I need of my reception? How many pictures do I need? Did you notice how your firstborn, you got like stacks? Then your secondborn, you got less. And your thirdborn and your fourth one, you can't hardly find one at all from last year. You're like, boy, stand up against the wall. Let me take a picture of you. Why? Because I don't have one. Huh? And the truth is, how many do you need? In 2019, if you were to die, what you have become in Jesus is all you'll have to show for yourself. And that's all that'll matter. Does your vision encompass God's glorifying himself through you? I want to show others Christ. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. I want to be prepared for his use. I want to be productive this year. I want my prayers answered. I want to present Christ to people and his love. But I also want the culmination of all of this is verse 11. I also want the joy of Christ. Look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. I want the fullness of joy. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that in his presence is the fullness of joy. That if I abide with him, if I rest, surrender, obey, and depend on him, I am going to receive not my joy. My joy is junk. Jesus's joy. Look at that verse again. I have spoken to you that my joy, that's the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, will abide in me. That's that delight of mine, joy, that deepest spring of emotions. Now, joy is different than happiness. Happiness is based on your surroundings. Let me give you an example. Happiness is like a thermometer. All a thermometer can do is tell you the condition of your surroundings. Joy is a thermostat that sets the conditions of your surroundings. That's the difference. That if I will abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I will surrender, if I will submit, if I will obey, if I will give myself to him as he has given himself completely to me, I will have his joy. I will have joy. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of whether this year it's cancer or whether next year it's a heart attack, it doesn't matter. I'll have joy. I'll have something that goes beyond that, because you do lose your joy, by the way. You don't lose your salvation, but you lose your joy. Do you remember when David sinned with Bathsheba? In Psalm 51, when he repented and got right with God, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He had lost it. He'd crossed the line. He had crossed the seventh commandment and committed adultery. And he had lost his joy. Restore unto me. This is why you need God's joy. Listen to what he says. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, when I have the joy of the Lord, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Quit worrying about what you're going to say. Let's get started on what we're going to become in Christ. Let us be the Christian God needs us to be. Let us surrender ourselves to him so he can glorify himself in us, because what people see in us is going to open the door for more conversations than you being a Bible know-it-all. Then I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. What is it you want? What is your vision for 2019? Is it just a series of boxes that never ends? Oh, goals need to be written. They do. And goals are good. But why don't we ask God for a vision as individuals, as married couples, families, and as for ministry, what his vision would be to glorify himself in us. I want to be clean. I want to be prepared. I want to be productive. I want to bear fruit. I want my prayers answered. I want to radiate and present the love of Christ. And I want his joy to radiate from me so that others will come to know him. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Won't you come? This is what we call the invitation time of the service. The word of God has been preached. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is your opportunity to do business with God. Maybe there's things that you know are standing in the way of God's glory. Maybe there are things that you know need to be rectified. Maybe there's somebody you need to forgive. Maybe there's somebody you need to forgive. You can't do it in and of yourself. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You need to go to God and say, "God, please empower me with your grace to forgive. By faith, I forgive. Now, God, give me the power to do it." Is there somebody you need to go seek forgiveness from today? You know you've wronged them, or at least they think you've wronged them. You know it. And instead of saying, "Well, that's their problem," God said he'd forgive you as you forgive others. So if you don't forgive them, he's not going to forgive you. Won't you pray and say, "God, glorify yourself in me. I'm going to go seek their forgiveness. And I'm going to ask for it, whether they give it or not. By faith, God, I'm going to do it. God, glorify yourself in me." Can you ask that of God? If you'll ask the Holy Spirit, you know, if you're saved, if you know you're born again today, the Holy Spirit of God resides in you, and He knows what the Father is thinking about you and what God the Father wants for you. Why don't you ask the Spirit to tell you and seek it in prayer? Our Father and our God, we love you. Oh God, that you would glorify yourself in us, that others would see you and not us. God, that you would bear fruit in our lives. God, that you would be glorified. Speak to each heart and each soul. God, if there's one here on campus or watching on the internet right now, if you died and you're not sure heaven's your home, you've been trusting in your infant baptism, you've been trusting in your church membership or your first Holy Communion or some other act of obedience, let me tell you, it's not about that. It's about trusting Christ as your Savior, turning to Him in prayer, admitting you're a sinner, asking Him to save you, believing He died for you. Won't you do that now? Now, Father, as hearts are being touched, God, I ask that you would speak, and God, you would move among us, and God, make the change that we need, that we might be usable for Thee in Christ's name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, the altar's open. Come, let's pray together, my brothers and sisters.
Bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
The altar's open, brothers and sisters. How about you?
I need you.
You know you need Him.
Every
deep down in your soul, you don't think to yourself, I don't need God. Because if you think that way, you're lost.
My one defense.
But you and I who are saved would never say that. The reason we're afraid to surrender ourselves to God is because we don't know Him. We don't know Him as well as we should. And because we don't know Him like we should intimately, we don't trust Him. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If surrendering your life to Christ right now is scary, it's because you don't trust Him. And it's because you don't know Him very well. Won't you make 2019 the year you and God get intimate and know each other? Your faith will grow, your trust will grow, your obedience will grow. God's glorification in you will grow to a proportion you've never dreamed, and others will flock to Christ because of it. Our Father and our God, we love you. Father, may every heart and mind be at peace with you today. As during this invitation time, we've taken the time to search our soul and to confess our sin. I ask, Father, please, as we go from this place, you would glorify yourself in each person, that others would be drawn to you. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way this morning.